Welcome to, this is the first episode that I'm going to wear, so I can actually, I know it is, so this, I can say welcome to the new episode of the new season of The Magic Within, and I've got a very, very special guest in with me. I had to bring in the big guns, with it being the debut, and of course, the final boss himself, Indiana Jones, Star-Lord, and many, many names, but his friends call him Russ Neave from Orlando Adventures Podcast. How are you doing, Russ?
I am very good. I'm very good. I'm very happy to be here. And I tell you what, it is so weird to be on the other side of it and not asking the questions. So this is going to be exciting.
How the turntables, my friend. I'll tell you what, I said final boss. I saved this for you. Look at this. Ready? Look at that. Now you've got a lightning box, so you fully look like the final boss now. The most electrifying man in the Orlando community. Right, let me turn that off because it'll give me a migraine. But yes, mate, it's great to have you here. And like, obviously, I've been on your podcast, but it's going to be nice to speak to the man that speaks to everyone else. I'm really genuinely excited to do that because I wanted to ask you questions when we recorded, but I didn't want to go off on too many tangents. But first of all, Russ, obviously, for anybody that doesn't know, for anyone that is sleeping under a rock, introduce yourself, tell us what you do, and of course, why theme parks, Disney, and all that kind of stuff is so special to you.
Yeah, so I, for anyone who might not know, and there probably are quite a few people at this point still.
I'm
Russ. I am the host, the creator of the Orlando Adventures podcast and Orlando Adventures, the YouTube channel now as well. So, you know, I have a love of Orlando, of Disney, of Universal, and just getting the opportunity to talk about it. So I, you know, it started with a passion of just wanting to talk about something I love. And here we are. I get to talk to people every single week about it. And I suppose in terms of like, my love of Orlando, I just like, and of Disney and Universal, it stemmed from like such a young age of kind of like just loving everything that they're all about. And I just wanted to like just talk about it with other people and know about other people's experiences. And exactly the same as yourself, it's just fun to speak about it with other people.
Yeah, I completely agree. And that's the thing, lined up, especially throughout the series. And I know you do the same thing. There's so many different people that love it for so many different reasons. It's not always cut and stick, cookie cutter. Everyone loves it for the same reasons. Of course they're there, especially with places like Orlando, like the weather is going to be one that is always on everyone's list. Do you know what I mean? Like these things, they kind of, but there's certain kind of little things and where they started, and yeah, talking to people about what they love, there's nothing better. And I'm going to let you do it. You tell the lovely listeners how many episodes that you've done.
I am currently on about 110. I've just started season two. It was 100 episodes in season one. It's the longest season one of anything ever.
Yeah.
But yeah, about 110, going strong, and it's not even a year old. That's the crazy thing.
I was about to say and say how long it's been there. So how old is it?
It is. It's about, to be fair, it's about 11 and a half months at this point.
To be fair, so when this comes out, it might be crossed over a year.
It might have just gone over a year. So yeah, it's as good as a year at this point. And like, I mean, I've loved every second of it. I genuinely have. And I say this to everyone, but I absolutely love that every day I get to just talk to different people about Orlando, and whether or not that's just like on Instagram or whether or not that's just in like YouTube comments or people like sending me direct messages or comments or on the pod itself, getting the opportunity to speak to so many different people is genuinely, it's an honor. It really is. I feel very, very lucky.
No, yeah, I completely agree. And like I say, I'm just kind of scratching the surface. This podcast was originally me and my wife, but I'm excited for all them reasons to speak to people about what they love and share that love. Like even myself and you, like sometimes we now talk on Instagram and it isn't Orlando related, it's wrestling related, but we've just found, all right, there's someone else that likes that. So it really does kind of build them bridges. We're going to talk about your five favorite things, and these do not have to be Disney related if you don't want them to be. I know there's going to be a common misconception because everything's all blue and sparkly that this is a Disney podcast. I don't know why people would think that. However, that's just me. There's magic in everything. This is my point of wanting to bring this. There is magic within everything, and it's not just Disney for everyone. So going off that, what is your favorite theme park ride of all time?
I'm glad you've done the caveat of all of that prior to me saying my first answer, because I'm an Orlando guy, like through and through. So I love Disney, but I love Universal, and there's other parks as well. And if we're going best ride, I'm going to Islands of Adventure, and it's Velocicoaster. It's the easiest. It's the easiest. It really is, because that ride, and for anyone who's listening, who's been on it, they will know that that ride is exceptional. As a roller coaster goes, it is top tier. I genuinely don't think you'll find a more well-rounded coaster out there. So that's my answer. Velocicoaster all day long.
I can't disagree, mate. I can't disagree. And that is exactly why I give that caveat, because it's probably my favorite as well, to be honest. there's just something about it as a ride. The ride system, how it runs, the double launch, everything is incredible. But then you actually tie such an iconic IP to that. So it isn't just a, you know, like a King Dakar or like one of these rides that are just like almost mythical. It's tied to Jurassic Park, which is such an iconic IP. Some of the animatronics you see as you're going around the queue system, it's all great. So I think you find it difficult to argue with that one. I'm sure there is arguments, but it's...
There are. And trust me, I've probably had them. It's a difficult one, because it's like, if you're not a full-on roller coaster enthusiast, it's probably not the ride for you. Because like something like Hagrid's, about a five-minute walk away, is probably a bit more suited to more family-friendly. But at the same time, I think there's a lot of aspects, and you said like the double launch, there's the smoothness of it. I mean, what the thing looks like. Like, as roller coasters go, sometimes they can be a bit of an ugly looking thing. Like, you know, you mentioned just kind of like standard roller coasters. You go to like an Alton Towers or a Fort Park, and it's just a big metal structure with nothing kind of around it.
Yeah.
This is a really well themed ride, and you kind of like look across the lake from the entrance of IOA, and it's like in front of the Discovery Center. I mean, who came up with the name Velocicoaster as well? I think it's a belter.
It is. And as far as walking into a ride, if you time it right and it's going up and over, that is just with the Jurassic Park music playing, that ambiance. So like, there's no disagreements from me on that one. Like I say, there is arguments totally, but not from me. So off that, what is your favorite movie of all time? Now, this can go a little bit. This can go wherever you want it to go. It can be. It can go from Space Jam to Bend It Like Beckham. Whatever you want it to be, it can be.
It feels like a bit of a basic answer, but I thought about this, and I'm a Marvel guy. You might tell that there's a couple of Marvel related kind of trinkets in the background, and I cannot look past Avengers Endgame. I cannot look past it. There's a close second, and close second is Spider-Man No Way Home.
I thought you were going to say Infinity War.
No, I do care. I love it.
That's in third.
It's definitely top five, but for me, it's Endgame. It just has to be. Everything about it. I'm a Marvel nut. I really am. Like, I love everything about it. Like Easter eggs, the fact that all of these kind of films have culminated in one kind of film, the big payoff. I think the fact that we went through the pain of Infinity War as well, kind of the unknown of where are we going to go with it, to go to Endgame and still have more hurt and more pain. And then eventually at the end, there's the payoff, and with a bit more pain as well. But I mean, I just think as an overall film, I mean, it was the biggest grossing of all time. And I'm not salty at all about the fact that Disney re-released Avatar to go and overtake Endgame again.
Listen, we'll get onto that later. Yeah. I'm not an Avatar hater, but I'm not the biggest fan of James Cameron. So that's my only thing with Avatar. And it kind of is just Fern Gully. But That's a tangent. In terms of Endgame,
It's a cinema.
I'm not going to argue with that in terms of that experience. I don't think. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, anyone in the comments or whatever, when you watch this, but if there's ever been something that had culminated and intertwined so many films to kind of get to that one big finale, like Endgame did, I don't think there is or ever will be that. I think it's going to be really difficult to beat. And I think that's the magic of everything. A lot of it, and for me, is storytelling. Whether it be, like I said, people know I'm a huge WWE fan, that storytelling. Theme park rides, quite often, the best ones tell a story. Yeah. Films, and in terms of storytelling, kind of, they're just that classic villains and heroes. I don't think you'll ever get a better experience than watching Endgame for the first time.
Yeah.
Secret Wars, maybe we'll see.
We'll get onto it in a second, but I think that there's about one thing that can top it, and I think it's probably Secret Wars. I think it's the only thing. But I don't know. I mean, we'll see.
My only argument to that would be, and we don't know yet, this is a hypothetical point, is that right now, I don't think the build to Secret Wars is as good as what the build to Endgame was. Like, nobody was had enough of the MCU up on that build to Endgame. Everyone was like, where's it going? I want more. Whereas I just feel like there's a bit of an attitude towards it now. It's not necessarily an attitude that I share, but anyway, wait, that was a tangent, and we'll try and not do that too many times, but I can't guarantee it. Who's your favorite character then in light of that? I'm guessing it's a Marvel character, perhaps?
For me, it's Doctor Doom. This is a character who hasn't been on screen much yet. And I think of character, you said character, and I go, I love the character from the comics.
Mm-hmm.
I think that what the character can potentially bring to the screen will be, that's the thing that I think will be next level. That's the thing that I think can beat Endgame in terms of Secret Wars being bigger, because I think the villain and the character himself is so complex and so detailed, and the fact that, I mean, we're going to get Robert Downey Jr. to play him as well.
I'm about to say, how do you feel about that?
I'm buzzing for it.
Yeah,
I'm absolutely buzzing for it, because I think that we don't know what they're going to do with it, and regardless of whether or not it's an Iron Man variant or whether or not it's just a Doctor Doom with a Tony Stark face, whatever way they do it, I think he'll bring such an amazing kind of portrayal to that character.
Mm-hmm.
I think the character of Dr. Doom, I think he looks cool for a start. I mean, that's one thing about especially with comic book characters, if they look good, then it's a seller. Sometimes if they look a bit dumb, I think of MODOK from Ant-Man Quantumania. He's never going to be the biggest villain ever because he looks dumb. Do you know what I mean? So whereas Dr. Doom, I think, has got that look and power and aura that a big fan. And obviously I go on about Dr. Doom ride at Islands
of Adventure ride
about every other episode of mine. So I've got to stick with him. So
it is a great ride. It absolutely is a great ride. And there's certainly been some mixed reaction to Downey being Dr. Doom, but I'm with you. I trust him. I don't think they'd bring him back unless it was a very good idea what they've got.
Yeah. I think the main thing for me, and this is me going on Marvel tangents already.
Go for it.
If with a character that big, the main thing with Doctor Doom is he wears a mask. So you've got to get someone in big enough who's prepared to go, I'm going to wear a mask for almost the entirety of this film and not show my face. So I'm just going to be a voice character. I think that there's a lot of big actors out there who probably would want the role, but would want their face to be on screen. If you're going to be in the biggest film of all time, potentially in Secret Wars, I want my face to be on that screen. Whereas I think Robert Downey Jr. is very much like, I've done that. I've been there. I've been the main character. So maybe I don't need to take the limelight in terms of my face being on screen. That's what I see from it. That's why I feel like...
Even as Iron Man to an extent, I mean... Yeah. He was somewhat covered up for huge scenes and portions of the film. Obviously, there was huge scenes and portions of the film where he wasn't as well. How, just on a hypothetical, Cillian Murphy was someone that was very heavily rumoured.
Yeah.
Was there a little bit of disappointment, not with Downey Jr. getting the role, but with Cillian Murphy not getting it?
I don't know about disappointment. For me, I never expected it to be Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
In a million years. So for me, the excitement of going, we're getting RDJ back, outweighed the disappointment of not getting anyone else. Cillian Murphy, I think he would have been unreal. I mean, it'd be like top tier casting. But I think there's a better and more rounded role for him somewhere else in the future if he ever wanted to do it.
So. As soon as I saw RDJ, the first thing I thought was the Peter Parker moment when he sees what he thinks is Tony Stark, because that sends chills down. I'm like, that. There's never been something that I've not wanted to see, but wanted to see so much all at the same time.
It is going to be heartbreaking, isn't it? It really is.
Because he just won't recognize him, but nobody else does anyway. That's the thing that I keep forgetting is that it's, so he'll just think that he's just forgotten him like everyone else has, but that's not the case. Yeah. Before we go off on before this becomes a Marvel podcast, your favorite snack, this is more Park Central. So I don't want it to be a sausage and bean melt from Greg's, like favorite Park snack.
I love a Greg's. Pepperoni pizza spring rolls, Magic Kingdom, and it's the pepperoni pizza ones over the cheeseburger ones.
Yes, thank you, Russ. I knew there was a reason that I invited you to be my first guest.
The cheeseburger ones are really good. The pepperoni pizza ones, I was like, "Hello, wait up!" Like, this is better.
I love them. Yeah, I think so too. For me, the cheeseburger ones are too gherkiny. Too pickly, which I'm not a personal fan of. So, and I know that is a huge part of why people are a fan of them, because it's part of a cheeseburger. So that's why they're a no for me. But I got one of the pepperoni pizza ones and I was like, please be good. Please let me like this one at least. And I absolutely loved it. So I don't think that many will say that. So I rate that. And your favorite park of all time, not resort either. You need to narrow it down if you're going Universal. Pick one of the two.
I'll pick it. Don't worry. Like I've given people enough hard questions on mine. I'll pick it. It's Islands of Adventure. It's got to be. And I will say a close second is Hollywood Studios. It is. There's not a lot in it, but for me, it's Islands. And I've got to be real. It's Velocicoaster. It's Hagrid's, and it's Doctor Doom. Without Velocicoaster and Hagrid's, it's not Islands of Adventure. I think that they nailed those two so well in the past, 6 years, that it's elevated that park so much by having those two rides. Mm-hmm. So, IOA for me all day long.
Hulk as well. I mean, which kind of goes under the radar now, and it's a bit of a rough ride, bumpy ride now. But that, to me, when I went as a kid, it was just this like absolute behemoth of a coaster, something I'd never seen before in England. Like, and I was like, wow, that kind of takes your breath away a little bit to think that I'm about to ride that. But no, I had a feeling it would be one of the two. I've got a feeling maybe it'll change, perhaps, if Epic hits the heights.
I think, I'm going to Epic this year. Mm-hmm. There's a chance that it could. And I think like it's going to be really difficult to say this year, because I think our experiences of Epic are going to be slightly marred by the fact I don't think we're going to do a lot, because it's going to be very busy, let's be honest. But I think in terms of what is on offer, if it is as good as it looks, I don't think there's any doubt that for me will probably be my favorite part.
Yeah, I agree. There's a high chance that it's going to sneak in there for me. I don't know whether I'll say it's my favorite. I think there's going to be a lot to take Hollywood away from being my favorite, because I think that being a favorite is something that I can look at others and be like, I know that's better and that's fine, but it doesn't mean that that's my favorite. There's some kind of sentimental value. And like you say, I know you're a pass holder for Universal, and I'm also going this year. I don't know if you get to visit Epic more than once. But I know that on my 14-day pass, I'm only going to get to visit once. So even then, because of how much time I've spent in all these other parks, it's going to be hard for me to say, this is now my favorite park of all time, because I've spent one day in it. But it's going to be good.
It's a tough one, because I know we're all going to turn up with our like Epic Universe tinted glasses on, and be like, this is the best thing I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And we were all going to do it because it's new.
Yeah.
But I think once we've kind of done that park more, then it's a fairer, I think it's a fairer assessment. I mean, ultimately it's going to be an amazing theme park. And just to get a whole new theme park is what, it's amazing that.
Yeah, exactly. In this day and age with the technology we've got, to get a theme park the size and scale of that attached to a resort that's already kind of world famous for being world famous, not to take a slogan off the Jungle Cruise, but anyway, moving on to the magic within yourself. So yeah, we've got a little bit of a taste for it there, telling us what your favorite things are, but how did it all begin? Was it a previous trip? Was it watching VHS tapes like me because I'm old? How did it all begin? Where did the magic start for you?
I mean, like everyone, we all grew up watching Disney films. Like that's a given, I think. But I think we, as a family, my parents, myself and my brother, we went in 1999. So I'd have been 5 years old. And like it's young enough to appreciate it and enjoy it, but it's also like it's some of my earliest memories that I have, like, anywhere, and I still remember it now. And I think that really it sticks in my mind so much. And I feel, you know, obviously I feel so lucky that my parents like took me at such a young age to these parks. And I think that there was a love for Universal as well, so not just Disney. We did Universal mm-hmm. back then as well, and just so much nostalgic kind of rides that it's grown from that. The nostalgia over the years of kind of like having been on these rides for years and years, and, you know, loving the films growing up and watching older films as well. So even films like E.T., which is, I don't know, you know, it's about a million years old at this point.
Absolutely. Jaws too. Jaws was another one for me that, like, I can't say I'd seen it, but I knew of the film prior to going to the park. And again, very, very similar. I was 6 and went in the year 2000. So we just missed each other, mate.
Yeah, just. But we, you know, 25 years later, we sorted out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we'll find our way to each other eventually. But so you went to Universal that, so I can talk to you about the Jaws ride. Do you remember the Jaws ride?
I remember it so well. I remember being absolutely terrified.
Yeah, same. That's the one thing that I remember too. I didn't know it was a joke. I thought the shark was chasing us.
Yeah. When I looked over and saw that boat and it came out the water, I was not in a good way.
I'm glad I'm not on my own there. It's cool to speak to someone who actually remembers that, because I feel like it's few and far between these days, but it was such an iconic ride, and I'm sad that that's not there, to be honest. But yeah, E.T., again, it's another one. For me as well, Blues Brothers. Like, I watched Blues Brothers because my dad loved it, and then I saw them perform. And that's genuinely one of the best concerts in Orlando. I absolutely love it. Like, it's so good. It's one of the most underrated things. I absolutely love it. So it is really cool to know that you went that young. You beat me to it as well. You beat me by a year. So with that in mind, what is your favorite and most magical trip that you've ever been on? Was it that one?
It's probably not. And the thing is, like, it's difficult because obviously I speak to a lot of people about like a similar kind of question, but it's so difficult to look past your most recent trip at it.
Mm-hmm.
It's always the one that's fresh in your memory, and it's always the one where you've kind of like tried to do something else, or you've refined your trip a little bit more.
Yes.
I've been fortunate enough, I've gone 8 times up to this point, and every single trip I've done something slightly different, or added something on and done something slightly extra, or gone with somebody different. I think my best trip is probably the one I've just been on. And it's difficult because I can think of moments from other trips that have been, you know, like amazing memories and stuff. But as an overall trip, the one I've literally just been on in December and January.
I was about to say it was December and January, wasn't it?
It was, for anyone who might not know, it was myself and my partner, Annie. I booked it in April last year, and it was a surprise trip. There's a YouTube video. I did like an at-home escape room, and I basically kept it a secret from Annie until November.
Mm-hmm.
And I recorded it for well, I recorded it for YouTube. I told her it was to show her brother, which was complete rubbish. And yeah, just recorded this whole thing. Got to the end. I was like, yeah, we're going to Disney next month. And she's like, what? So the fact that it started with this whole kind of like surprise and just having no idea. We went over New Year's, which was amazing. Mm-hmm. Something that I'd never done before. It still had the Christmas overlay. It was my first trip vlogging, which was like something that I've wanted to do for a long time. And obviously talking to a lot of people about it was something that I really wanted to get involved in. It was my first trip since starting the podcast as well. So it was kind of like a culmination. It was a culmination of a lot of Orlando and a lot of Disney, a lot of Universal. And then finally it was kind of my turn to go. Mm-hmm. And I suppose the final most magical thing of that trip is that I was so generously gifted a night at Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Oh, wow.
From a listener of the pod. They messaged me on Boxing Day and were like, we love the podcast and we want to say thank you. So here's a
night.
That's
incredible.
Yeah. And like at first I'm a bit like, really? Like, obviously I was like, well, definitely not. Like,
yeah, it's steady on me. Like, I'm all right, yeah. Thanks.
I'm like, of course not. Like, you don't need to thank me. Like, I love doing this. And he was like, no, I'm not taking no for an answer. Like, I've booked it. Here you go. Here's the reservation number. And I'm like,
wow, that's incredible.
And that was a dream. That was something that I've wanted to go for a long time. Me and Annie had talked about it for a long time. So to get to do that with all of that trip all in one, like, top tier trip.
That is amazing. It's that's the magic, my friend. That is exactly it is. That's why we're here. Like I said, it's alive in so many different things. For that guy who gifted you that, it's a podcast, and it's a podcast that you've made. And for whatever reason, it's just resonated with him, and it's passed on, and it's probably inspired him to go to Orlando, because I know when I listen to your podcast, there's a love hate relationship with any Orlando, Disney, Universal content, because I watch it and listen to it and I love it. And I love listening to people talk about it and have their experience if it's a vlog, but then I also want to be there so bad. Yeah. And then it just brings it back to the front of the mind, doesn't it? And you're like, oh, I want to be there so bad. You know, that's great. It, to be honest with me, mate, it's a similar reason. It's the most recent one, but it's my honeymoon. It's gonna struggle.
Yeah, I mean,
it's gonna struggle to ever beat that. I don't know if anything will. But this isn't about me. What keeps the magic alive for you? I feel like I know the answer, to be honest. I was gonna say whether it's parks, movies, but I've got a feeling it's sharing it.
It's sharing it. It is. It's. I'm so lucky with the pod. And I know I keep going on about it, but like,
no,
I'm
talk so about lucky. It.
I'm so lucky to talk about like other people's experiences. And I honestly, like I said at the start of the episode, I love talking to other people about what they've done and what their experiences are and kind of their recommendations. And to then go and do it yourself as well, and to share that with other people, and to see other people engage with it and other people enjoy it is such a big thing. And you know, I do feel lucky that I talk to people daily about it, and this the community around, you know, my podcast, the YouTube, like other people's content that they're putting out there is so amazing and so supportive that it's an amazing kind of like space to be a part of, and it kind of like it alleviates those Disney blues or Orlando blues quite a lot. Because there's always that feeling when you come back that you're like, God, I don't want to look at anyone's content because I can't bear to kind of look at it because I feel so sad that I'm not there.
Yeah.
But I think that in this kind of space, in this community, that everyone's kind of excited for one another. Everyone's excited for someone else to go on a trip. And it's like, you know, you might see someone has put up a travel day post today and you're like, right, I'm buzzing because for the next 2 weeks or whatever, I'm going to check into this person's stories and live vicariously through them. So
exactly, there's always someone there. That's the beautiful thing. It's a drawback, I guess, in a sense, because it's always busy. But the beautiful thing about it is, especially within this community, I think you hit a point where you're like, you know what? No, I'm going to start a channel. I'm going to start a podcast. I'm going to start whatever it may be. And then there's a little bit of worry, but once you find the right people, and it takes a little bit sometimes. Like it does take a little bit sometimes. You think, oh God, like, I, I'm posting, but I'm not, my followers aren't growing, or like I can't find these people to engage with. But once you do, once you find that community, you find, and I feel like we're part of, we're in this stratosphere now, even though yours is an Orlando based podcast and mine's about a fictional mouse that I pretend I'm best friends with. But we're in this same kind of stratosphere, and I could not agree more. Everyone's so supportive. Everyone is like there for everyone. Everyone I've spoke to try and get a hand with something. There's not a lot of really gatekeeping that goes on. People are quite open to kind of, if you like a bit of their content and say like, oh, how did you do that in the edit? People will just tell you, like they're not worried. And it's a great place to be. Contrary to what the muggles believe, theme park people and Disney adults are all like, it's actually a very supportive and lovely community.
It is. Yeah, exactly. We're gone.
No, you go.
I was just going to say, we're just having fun. That's it. And that's what it's about, isn't it? And I think silly little things, like obviously I've done an episode where I became Star-Lord. What reason? Other than I can do it, and why not? On the Instagram, I became Doctor Doom. On the Instagram, mm-hmm. I became Indiana Jones to do a trip reveal. Like, there's no other community where I feel like I could do that and not just be heavily judged.
And in all fairness, by the time this will have come out, we will have done something fun together, which the people will have probably seen. So exactly. I agree. And finding people within this community that I can do that with is great fun. It's like, let's just be a bit stupid. Let's just have a bit of a laugh. Who cares? And I love that. But the last of these questions is, what's on your theme park bucket list? Or are you like, obviously we've spoke about Epic, but have you got any kind of aspirations to get out to, like, I know there's a Universal in Singapore, right? Obviously the Shanghai and Hong Kong Disney, the Tokyo Disney, Aulani, even. Is any of these things?
I to be fair, I want to do all the Disney and Universal parks at some point.
Yeah.
They're like, I love talking to people about it. I love kind of like seeing videos and stuff like that, and information, ride throughs, all that kind of stuff of all these parks. They're probably not a priority for me right now because Orlando is my thing. But at the same time, I do really want to do them at some point. I love theme parks. I love Disney. I love Universal. So it doesn't matter where in the world they are. I still want to go and see them. I still want to experience them. And it's about making memories, isn't it? So whether or not your memories you make are in Orlando, whether they're in Beijing or Hong Kong or Disneyland Paris, it doesn't matter. Like, there's different experiences everywhere and different kind of memories to be made. So yeah, definitely want to do all of the parks at some point. When? I'm not sure.
Have you been to LA?
No, so this is an interesting one. The only Disney park I've ever been to, or Disney parks, is Orlando.
It's not a bad one, mate. There's four though, so you're
all
right.
I've never even been to DLP. I've never even done it.
Come with me at one point when I've got my annual pass, because I can get you a cheap ticket for the day or even one of the events as well, But they're good. It's great. I always say Orlando's my home resort, even though Disneyland Paris is closer, because I think it's always kind of first one you went to often resonates with you as that home resort. But LA, I've not been either, but that's next on the list for me. That's the one that's top of the list. I want to walk where Walt walked. I want, like, the, you know, the railroad that goes around is the same one that he sat on. Like,
that's cool, isn't it? Yeah.
It's so cool. And obviously there's a Universal there too. That's next on my list. But that is it for talking about the magic within you. And now I get to kind of get my own back a little bit on you, because that's not going to happen right till the end, till I hit you with a three this or that. So prepare for that, but you don't know the coming. On to the mini games. So first of all, we listen, but we don't judge. For the people who, if it's your first time watching, this is the new format. So three games: we listen, but we don't judge, refurb, retheme and replace, and Main Street Confessions. We listen, but we don't judge, people. It's very trendy right now on Instagram, on TikTok. You have to share a bold, somewhat over, like a bit of a hot take with me for Disney and Universal Parks.
Yeah.
And I won't judge. You have my word. This is a judge-free zone, so say whatever you like, and I'll discuss it with you without judging.
Mickey Mouse, worst character now. I've got one, to be fair. This is one that I've kind of like, I haven't said it a lot in recent time.
Okay.
But for me, so for anyone who may or may not know, Rockin' Roller Coaster in Hollywood Studios is being replaced. So it is being refurbished as the Muppets. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not a mad fan of Rockin' Roller Coaster. I'm not a big fan. And it's being rethemed to Muppets, which I'm even less of a fan of.
Ooh.
Yeah. I've got a feeling you're a big fan of this, right? I absolutely do not get why they're choosing Muppets. I don't understand it. I don't get it. Personally, it doesn't excite me. I'll be absolutely honest. I think any other franchise, they would have been better. I think they could have literally picked anything.
I can totally listen. I love the Muppets and I do love Rock and Roller Coaster. But however, I can resonate with you on a point here. It certainly feels a little bit like we're getting rid of Muppet Vision, so we're going to throw the Muppets a little bone here. I think there is other things that would have rethemed beautifully, such as Cars. You know, it's in a car. but no, I totally understand your point. I do love the ride. I've got a very much love-hate relationship with the ride because I was very looking forward to going on it again on my most recent trip, and it was down for refurbishment. Like it
I
constantly,
remember you saying,
yeah, yeah, it constantly is. So I've got a love hate relationship with it. I hope I get to ride it one more time as it is. But Aerosmith is random, so I get that as well. It's not really going to be an IP that people like, especially as a kid, first time you went, you're really going to. I loved the song Walk This Way. So when I first went on it, it was the first time I ever experienced a launch like that. And I was listening to a song I loved while like going around an inversion and seeing like the Hollywood Boulevard sign. So like I really do love it, but I can understand why that might not be for everyone. So like I say, mate, I won't judge. I'll let the comments do that. And I always say in this section is we don't judge, but we don't forget. Refurb, retheme, and replace. So let me just run through this quickly. Refurb is you keep the ride as it is. You just give it, you know, maybe a lick of paint, brush it up a bit, dust it, just if it's, you know, like if it's a bit clunky or whatever. But you keep it as it is because you love the ride and you just want to see it better. Retheme is, thank you for bringing up the Rock and Roller Coaster, Russ, is exactly what's happening to the Rock and Roller Coaster with the Muppets. They're taking Aerosmith out, they're putting the Muppets in. I think the ride system, everything's going to stay the same. It might just be completely rethemed to the Muppets. Quickly on that, if they're going to paint that guitar like psychedelic colours, that will look cool. I will give them that. And then replace is you're bringing in the demolition team for this one. You're knocking it down. And you can pitch something entirely new, a ride you've always wanted to see, but you've never got to see it. But of course, it comes at the cost of a different one. So with that being said, Russ, what are you refurbing?
Refurb? Spaceship Earth.
Okay.
It's, I think it's an easy one because I think it's like, it's one of those rides that it's a staple of Epcot. Mm-hmm. I think you can't have Epcot without Spaceship Earth. But God, that thing is tired. I mean, I'll be honest, I don't even know what era it actually stops at nowadays.
Yeah, I actually don't know either. I can't remember the last time it got an update.
I think they've just introduced the telephone. I mean,
I'm always asleep by the time it gets to that point.
Yeah.
But that's not a bad thing either. But
no, but I think it's one of those. It's I don't mean we want to lose it. I think that you do want retro stuff. I think you want icons, and something like Spaceship Earth is exactly that. But I think that like the animatronics, just bring them up to modern day. I think just have a bit more going on. The screens, I mean, like how many times has someone like had the picture taken and then like half your head's disappeared by the time it does the video thing at the end. Like, just stuff like that. I think it is in need of a refurb.
It was just making me laugh because when you think of what the message of that ride is to be ever evolving. And it now feels run down, which is a little bit of a contradiction on what the whole ride is about and the whole park is about, I guess. But I agree. It's hard to close that one down, right?
Yeah. And I don't be wrong. I don't think it's an unbelievable ride. But I respect it. I think that, you know, in terms of, I think every park probably needs its retro ride that you just keep. I think that's probably a given. And I think that is the one for Epcot. And obviously it's inside. I mean, it is Spaceship Earth.
Yeah.
It is the Epcot ball. So, I mean, it is what it is, isn't it?
I don't want there to ever be a day where, like, I'm telling a younger crowd there once was a day where there was a ride inside the ball. Like, that should always exist. So I agree. It probably does need updating to go in with the theme of the ride. But speaking of theme, what are you retheming?
So I would, if it wasn't already happening, I would have said Rock and Roller, 100%.
What would you have done it to?
To be honest with you, like you said, Cars is a shout. I mean, that's the first thing. I think it's anything apart from Muppets, you know.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
It's a weird one because it's not that far from like Haunted from Tower of Terror. So I think just having like, I don't know, you have some like kind of spooky vibes as well could be.
Yeah, I thought this as well. Just to quickly jump in as an idea, they're doing the Villains Ever After show there, right?
Yeah,
it just next to it where Lightning McQueen was. I was hoping it was going to be a Villains ride where it was like they're rushing to get to that show, so then it actually ties in with the with the show next door. Like you said, it's spooky, and you could almost have a little mini villain section of Hollywood Studios there then in that little courtyard. Yeah. But that's not what they've done.
That's not my choice. I would go. I go with Space Mountain. I love Space Mountain. I think we all love a bit of Space Mountain, but that thing is rough. I don't think there's any doubt about it.
Yeah.
Like you come off it, you feel 20 years older. It's one of those. It's a classic. It's a classic from Magic Kingdom, but I think it's time. I think they did the same thing with Tiana's in terms of like Splash Mountain. I think it just needs something. It needs just bringing forward 30 years.
Yeah.
Modern day a little bit. And I think of like what I would retheme it to, and it's difficult because of where it is. You've got to go with kind of like that spacey kind of theme.
Mm-hmm.
And I have thought about it. I'd go with Lilo and Stitch. I feel like that would work.
Yeah.
I feel like go with like a spacey kind of theme. It fits, but it's also like an IP that attracts kind of
everyone.
And obviously they've got a new film coming out this year. They've got a live action version. I mean, it's a goer. There you go.
Okay, I think that could be quite controversial because with Space Mountain being day one, people get very...
straight away,
it's also the one, well, not one, I did five things that Disneyland Paris does better than Walt Disney World, and Space Mountain definitely is one of them. They've got a launch and it's Hyperspace Mountain. I will say the theming is a little bit strange. It's a little bit like, because Discovery Land is almost like cyberpunk spacey. It's not exactly like outer spacey.
Yeah,
it feels a little bit confused that they just stuck hyperspace on it, but it still is a fantastic ride. It's really good. No arguments from me. 6'5", struggle to get in the damn thing. So no arguments from me on a... Please, if you're retheming it, just make the carriages a little bit bigger for my sake. But what are you knocking down? And what are you bringing in?
I actually don't think I'm going to upset anyone. I think people are going to be right behind me. Mission Space. I've gone with a space theme here for some reason.
Yeah, okay.
Mission Space. See you later. It's time. It is time to just get knocked down. It doesn't need retheming. It doesn't need like tarting up. It just needs binning.
That's got to go. Yeah,
it makes people feel sick. Like I'm all right on it, but I know that it makes a lot of people feel nauseous. It's not really got a lot of story to it or anything like that. It is what it is. It's a mission to space and that's it. I think where it is, And I could be wrong, but I feel like it's not that far from where Guardians is in the park.
No, it's not.
Well, I feel like that needs knocking down, and I feel like Guardians needs expanding, is where I'm going. How All Guardians right. has only got one ride, it absolutely baffles me. There needs to be another Guardians ride because, I mean, you think of how popular Cosmic Rewind is. I mean, it's a no-brainer. And I say, you want me to come up with an idea? I got one. We're good to go.
Hit me with
I would go, I feel like Epcot needs a shooter ride. I feel like it needs that interactive kind of element. I feel like it needs Guardians. We can all be like, I'm thinking more like a Smuggler's Run. Smuggler's mm-hmm. Run, but we all kind of like get the opportunity to jump in with the Guardians. And we're all like, you know, there's a couple of pilots, there's a couple of gunners, sack the engineers off, like that kind of idea. Like
it would be quite cool as well if it's like, so you're putting on a suit, so it's like, right, I'm Star-Lord, you're Groot, yeah. you're Rocket. So you're like, yeah, okay.
That'd be cool. I feel like if we can get immersed into something like that, and I think of like, I think of that first scene from like the second Guardians film, when they're
Mr.
all
Blue
like,
Sky.
Mr. Blue that. Sky, they're all against the thing with the Avalax batteries where it is.
Yeah.
And I feel like if we do that and we're kind of like moving around it, you've got the music going, we're all kind of like on the little guns and shooting it, and we're all trying to get a score together, I feel like would be a really cool idea. I feel like surely something like that as a goer.
That sounds like a goer. I tell you what, the people at Disney will that there's only one Guardians ride, because I think that's why they overhauled Tower of Terror in LA. But I think that's a great ride to have distinguished roles that aren't like pilot and stuff like that, but you're Star-Lord, Gamora, Rocket and Groot, or Drax, and like, then it's quite exciting. I think that's what's always exciting about Guardians, is that obviously it's the song on Cosmic Rewind is the thing that's always different. I think with Guardians, you should always have an element of surprise with a ride, with a Guardians ride. I don't know what, what's it called? Mission Breakout. I don't know what that's like. I've never been on it, but I know they do kind of a Halloween overlay on it as well, which is something that's quite exciting for... You're never going to get that with Tower of Terror, I don't think. They're never going to bring in... I would love... This is, again, a little tangent. I would love for them to bring in a villain's overlay, a Halloween overlay for Tower of Terror, just because if you're ever going to put in a pull the lever cronk and it's going to fit, that is where it is going to be, because you can actually do the vertical drop. But no, that's a great idea, mate. You should drop that down on an email and get it over to... Josh DeMaro, I think. I'll drop it off, because I might go to D23 destinations when I'm there. So I'll say knock that. But that's the biggest shout. Like, I love the Guardians ride, mate. It's such a fresh idea. But the best thing you said was knock down Mission Space. I didn't need you to replace it. You could have replaced it with more bins to eat on, and I would have been happy.
Just leave it on a rubble, that dude.
Yeah, it's fine. Here stood Mission Space. But right, moving on from that, that was a good round. I enjoyed that. Main Street Confessions. So this doesn't have to be Main Street again. Doesn't have to be Disney. But share a funny, awkward, or unforgettable park experience that you've had.
I think of unforgettable, and like it's difficult because obviously there's so many memories and moments in all these parks. But I think back to I did a trip with two of my friends in 2016 to Orlando, and we went to Busch Gardens. So we're going completely different park. We went to Busch Gardens and it was the first time we'd ever been there. And we stumbled across this behemoth looking ride called Falcon's Fury. And I don't know if you know it. I don't know if you're aware of what Falcon Fury is.
Don't think it was there when I went. So I went to Busch Gardens 2003 and not been back. So there was some things there, Iron Gwazi and stuff. Pontoon, was it called? I don't know. But
I don't know. But Iron Gwazi obviously is a massive roller coaster. This thing is even bigger. This is a drop tower. So it is... A lot of people I know aren't a fan of a drop tower, but it takes you all the way up and then it points you to the ground. So it kind of like, so really to really get the feelings in, yeah. And for a bit of context, it's 335 foot tall. So, which might just sound like numbers. Like, for example, Velocicoaster is 155 foot.
How tall is Doctor Doom?
I mean, Doctor Doom is about 150.
So it's right? Twice the size of Doctor Doom and you're facing the ground.
Twice and a bit, yeah. So like, wow. And I think of like the biggest ride in the UK is what's it called?
It's that Hyperion. New one, isn't it? Yeah, Hyperion, yeah.
That's 236 foot. If anyone's seen how big that thing is massive, by the way.
Wow, right.
And Falcon's Fury is an extra 100 foot on that. So we go on it. There's me and my mate, one of my mates bails. He's like, no chance, not going on it. And we just kind of sat on it. We're going up. We're having a chat. And we get to where we feel is near the top. And I'm like, feels like we've been going up for a while, mate. And he's like, yeah, no, we've got to be nearly there. And we kind of look up over our heads. And I'm not kidding. We're not even halfway. And I'm like, at that point, I mean, like, just like my stomach just falls out the bottom of me.
Silence.
And I'm like, this isn't cool. So we get to the top and it holds you there for a minute. And then it does the thing where it tilts you. And he just looks at me and he goes, I tell you what, mate, it's been really nice knowing you. And I'm just like, I didn't even know what to say. I'm like kind of crying with laughter.
I'm scared thinking about it. I've got that feeling in my stomach thinking about it.
Yeah. And I just remember like the moment that it dropped, the two of us screamed like absolute little girls. Like it was a full ride and there was us two grown men screaming the entire way down. We got to the bottom. We're like, that was wicked. I loved it. But I've never been on it again since.
Oh, I was about to say, have you been on it since? But I don't blame you.
I tell you, it, like going on it, I think the moment you're on it, I think you'd be fine. It is the problem is you look at it and go, it's disgusting. It's so big.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I can't believe it's bigger than Hyperion, whatever it's called in Thorpe Park. That is staggering. So yeah, you know what? The intrusive thoughts in my brain want to go and do it. But the more logical side is telling me not to. So we'll see if I find some time on the next trip to get to Busch Gardens. Because again, not been since 2003. Can only go to Epic once. Maybe I'd recommend it. Yeah, maybe.
Because you did Gwazi back in the day, which was when it was a wooden coaster, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's now Iron Gwazi.
Right, so it's bigger. Right, okay.
To be honest with you, like Iron Gwazi would be second on my list just behind Velocicoaster. And Velocicoaster probably only pips it because it's Jurassic World themed.
Gotcha.
Iron Gwazi is a whole different beast. It is a scary ride.
Might have a look at it. It's just with Horror Nights and stuff, its expenditures are already there. So maybe on a different trip. Yeah, exactly that. Maybe like look at flying out of Tampa instead or something. Right, that wraps up the games and nearly wraps up the podcast. But I've got three this or that's to throw at you because...
Okay.
You hit me with something pretty savage when we played our games. And I'm not going to tell you what it is, everyone. If you've not listened to the podcast already, go and listen to it and you can find out. So with everyone else during this season, I'm going to play this or that. But with you, I'm playing pick one or lose one. So like the other one goes. It's not... You're not just picking your favourite. Demolition team that we spoke about earlier, they're coming back in and they're going to knock it down.
Mission Space, and they're coming over to whatever else I'm going to get rid of.
Exactly, yeah, that's it. So they made light work of Mission Space. Now, Hulk or Everest?
Oh, that is brutal, isn't it?
Yeah, we're starting as well. We're started. That's number one.
I'd keep Everest. I'd keep Everest and I'd get rid of Hulk.
Yeah,
and it feels rough to say that because I like we said earlier, like Hulk is an amazing ride. There's a couple of reasons I do think Hulk is rough,
mm-hmm.
considering it that is. Had a read back like 10 years ago. Like I think it's rough. Yeah. I love the look of it. I mean, it's a stunning looking coaster, but like Everest for me is a bit of nostalgia. It resonates because I remember going in it it's 2008 and it opened in like 2007 or 2008 as well. Mm-hmm. So I remember going it quite early on And
did the Yeti work?
Back in the day, it did, yeah. Yeah. So it was, yeah, I got good memories. And I think that for Animal Kingdom, I think it needs that ride. So, yeah.
Disney World in general, I would say, needs that ride. So, yeah, that's fair enough. Hulk is getting demolished. I would like to see it rethemed into a Wicked roller coaster, but that's by the by. Next one. And this is both in your favourite park. Second favourite park, your favourite Disney park. Tower of Terror or Rise of the Resistance? Pick one, lose one.
This was coming. As soon as you were saying it, I'm thinking, like, here we go.
It might have been Rock and Roller Coaster, but you've told me you don't like it. No, I'm joking. I'll send you the documents. I've written them down. Yeah. These were the two that I wrote down. Tower of Terror or Rise of the Resistance. An icon or a new classic.
Yeah. God. How many people do I upset?
that's the question. But are you going to upset the Walt Disney World Orlando, or are you going to go for the Star Wars, yeah, people?
I'm knocking down Tower of Terror.
Oof.
Yeah. I think Rise is so good. I love nostalgia. I love it. And I love Tower of Terror. It's one of my favorites, but in terms of like absolute peak and pinnacle of what like an attraction should be nowadays, I don't think you can look much further than Rise. I think it's that good. I am a bit biased because I'm a massive Star Wars fan, so I've got that behind me. The only thing I'll say with Tower of Terror is that like I feel like the Twilight Zone is quite out of date. I feel like it could do with an update, and like I'm not saying get rid of the Twilight Zone overlay, but I feel like just kind of like zhuzh it up a bit.
And you're only saying that because I'm putting you in this position that you have to anyway.
I'm just trying to justify it.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point. I agree that the Twilight Zone is definitely is outdated. Myself, I would be going joining the cavalry with a sledgehammer, taking it to Rise of the Resistance. I don't think I can get rid of Tower of Terror, but I had a spoiler experience first time I rode Rise of the Resistance because teen, probably 14, 15 in front of me, just kept saying, oh, I can't wait for this bit. I'm going to take a photo of this bit. I can't. And I'm not going to say the bits because if there's someone listening that's never been on it, I don't want you to experience what happened to me. But all of them surprises weren't so much surprises for me. Yeah, and it is a shame. And hopefully I am a bit of a goldfish. So by the time I come to ride it again in August, then hopefully that experience will kind of have faded away from my memory and I'll get to do it fresh again. But the big kind of reveal when you walk into the room, I won't say too much, that wasn't spoiled. I still got that. That was still incredible. It was more the stuff on the actual ride that got spoiled rather than that pre-bit.
Yeah.
So that's fair enough. I'm not with you, but I understand it's a very good point. And the last one I don't think is that difficult anymore, but I'm going to stick to it. I'm going to stick to the two I wrote down. It's Hagrid's or Velocicoaster. Pick one and lose one.
I keep Velocicoaster. I mean, knocking down Hagrid's.
feels nasty. Yeah.
God,
think of the children, Ross. Think of the children.
No, well, they can just go over to Seuss Landing or something. They'll be right.
fair. Yeah, fair enough.
Go ride Cat in a Hat. Like.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a bonkers ride, by the way.
Yeah, not a fan. but yeah, like, you know, it like out of the two, and to be honest, it is difficult because I'm a big Harry Potter fan.
Mm-hmm.
I am. I'm a bigger Harry Potter fan than I probably am a Jurassic Park or Jurassic World fan.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I just, everything that Velocicoaster is, I just love everything about it. I think of that first experience of going on either of them. I, like, jaw hit the floor on both of them. But Velocicoaster, like, that's second launch. Oh,
yeah.
That's something else. Yeah. I kind of, I don't know how, but I kind of wasn't expecting it to be what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Which really got me. So yeah, 100%.
I had a little pre-warning for Velocicoaster actually, from a gentleman that was staying in the same hotel as me. I was talking to him in the morning, and I said I was going to Islands today, and he said, oh, you're going to go on Velocicoaster. What did he say to me? He said something. He said, you're meant to come out of your seat. He said,
yeah.
The only reason I'm telling you is because I was terrified and I didn't enjoy it the same way that I could have done. When I got out of the ride, somebody told me that you meant to get airtime and come out of your seat. So he's like, when you come out of your seat, don't panic. It's meant to happen. Because he told me that, honestly, I absolutely loved the ride. And it is crazy that you've got a lap bar.
Yeah, like, that's cool, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I think that's what adds to it. I think that is what adds to the kind of, the adrenaline, isn't it?
It feels a bit mad that it's only a lap bar, doesn't it? Because you think of something like Hulk, which was that older style over shoulder restraint. You feel you are locked in. You ain't getting anywhere.
With the seatbelt as well. And they've checked it and you're like, there's cool.
No way. But just a little lap bar, like, it feels pretty mad, doesn't it?
I feel like I was going to dip my head in the lake as well as we went over it. But it's both incredible first ride experiences. And I'm very excited for the ones because of those two. That's what makes me most excited for Epic, because it's like they're now not old, but they've got some years behind them where we're heading technology now. And some of the stuff that I'm hearing come out of Epic, I know a couple of people that have done team previews and stuff.
Nice.
And not a bad word to say about it, honestly, like, just staggered. But obviously that this is the peak, because it's team doing it for team. I wish I could get to one of them team previews, because I feel like you would really get to experience it. But I'm not surprised, Russ, that you picked Velocicoaster. Like, I did genuinely think, how can I change it to make it a bit more tough? But I feel like the ones before that were quite tough. So, and I think we just ended where we started on Velocicoaster, to be honest. But before we wrap up, I want to give you the opportunity to shout out everything you've got planned, everything you've got coming, where everyone can find you. And this is not a cheap plug. This is just, I always say this, this is a notification for people that don't know. So the floor is yours, my friend.
No, I appreciate it. I really do. And so it's Orlando Adventures Podcast. It's on Spotify, Apple Music, on Amazon, it's on YouTube. I've got the YouTube channel, Orlando Adventures, as well, where we, you know, we vlogged our first series. I've got another series coming up in, we're heading out to Orlando again in August. So we are going to get to do Epic Universe. I've booked my tickets. That's done, locked in. And it's, you know, I just have a lot of fun with it. And, you know, obviously, as Geordie said earlier, I've recorded an episode with Geordie on my podcast. We had a lot of fun, and you know, I asked the hard hitting questions, and I really put it on you. So I expected it to come back at me, and it did. But genuinely, I've really, really enjoyed it. It's been a lot of fun. So I really, really appreciate you taking the time to come and have a chat with me again, as much as anything.
Honestly, mate, like I said, when I was thinking about guests, you were the first person on my list, because I needed somebody that knows the community, somebody who I know is comfortable speaking on a mic, somebody who now, having done a podcast with you, I know I get along with and can speak quite freely with, because I break the fourth wall, you go looking directly at the camera. It can be a little bit nervous being on this side of it when you're hosting it. It can be a little bit nervous. So having somebody that I know I'm going to feel comfortable talking with was a no-brainer. But of course, Mr. Orlando himself, it has been a pleasure to have you. I can't thank you enough. Like I say, I can't thank you enough for taking the time, because 100 episodes out in not even a year is a crazy stat. So thank you for taking the time out of your busy, busy, busy podcast schedule to come and speak to my crowd, even though we might have some overlapping ones now. But again, for me, this is the bit that I hate doing and I always forget to do, but please, guys, if you have liked this video, hit the subscribe button, drop us a comment down below, maybe give us an idea of some other guests, and of course, go and listen to Russ's podcast if you haven't already, because I can guarantee you something you will get a lot more quantity out of Russ than you will out of me, because I'm going to do about 10 episode seasons and Russ does about 100. So Russ is keeping it going for us that are a little bit slower. So I really appreciate that as well. But it has been a pleasure to have you. Thank you guys for listening, and have a magical day. See you real soon.